The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
For tuning in. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for hanging with us. My guys, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, and Molly Karam Rose, and we have a huge show today. Floyd Money Mayweather will be live. Gentlemen, Max, maybe you'll finally learn something about boxing.
Floyd has a lot to teach.
So that'll be a lot of fun. But Stephen A., I want to start with some NBA news, shall we? All right. Former Rockets GM Daryl Morey is finalizing a deal to become the Philadelphia 76ers' new president of basketball operations, sources told ESPN. General manager Elton Brand is expected to remain in his current position, and new head coach Doc Rivers is a proponent of the hiring, sources have said. Rivers and Morey have a long history and a strong relationship. Stephen A., what should Morey do to help these 76ers win?
Matt Skelman, I thought long and hard about this. First of all, if I'm the Houston Rockets, I don't do it. But if I'm the Philadelphia 76ers and the goal is to get to the finals, I'm Daryl Morey. The first thing I'm trying to do is get James Harden to become a Philadelphia 76er. Even if it means me trading Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Let me say this again. I love me some Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. I know how elite defensively he is. He's only 24 years of age, 6'10". Ooh. You know, plays defense the way that he does, the basketball IQ, the basketball ability. But I will remind everybody, while we sit here and we lament the state of affairs with the Houston Rockets and all of this other stuff, let me remind everybody that for the last 3 years, James Harden has averaged 30, 36, and 34. The last 5 years, he's averaged at least 29. We know he got a handle. We know he got a shot. We know he's a scoring machine. He's a magician. Okay, and the opportunity to pair him with somebody like a Joel Embiid, when you have the Tobias Harrises of the world and Thybulle and all of these guys, when you look at what they have in place, what you're missing. Now, I understand there's a difference between a spot-up shooter and somebody that can dance on you all day. And I'm certainly believing that James Harden has to modify his game in terms of I shouldn't need to dribble as much as I need to dribble in order to score, because that's going to impede the flow to some degree. Can't have guys standing around and playing spectators. You tried that, it didn't work. But I'm telling you right now, even though James Harden is 31 and Ben Simmons is only 24, even though James Harden can't shine his shoes when it comes to playing defense, okay? Even though James Harden does play defense in the post area.
James Harden, you know what? No more with this, he doesn't play defense. He's a solid
You'll
defender.
You'll get your chance. I'm coming right to you, because I'm coming.
I was surprised by this take, by the way.
The reason I'm saying I'm coming to you is because you have mentioned in the past about separating Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So I basically not just did this take for our audience. I did it for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because I want to hand it to you. But I'm just telling you, I thought about it. And with Doc Rivers as the coach, with Daryl Morey and all of them damn trades, because only the Philadelphia 76ers have made more moves than Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey will trade anything. I mean, this brother makes things happen. I'm just saying, if I'm the Philadelphia 76ers and Daryl Morey is officially named my president of basketball operations, my number one objective is to try to get James Harden in a Philadelphia 76er uniform, and I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
Well, let me say, if you can get James Harden, great. It's not that Simmons and Embiid don't play well together. They do. I just think that you can really unlock, especially Ben Simmons, if you give him his own team. The way they did with the Greek Freak, only Simmons has even better, like, not even better. Simmons has, his handles are ridiculous. For 6'10", we've never seen handles like that at 6'10". If I were gonna separate them, okay. Presuming Simmons is physically okay after his injury, I would probably move Embiid and not Simmons. Embiid came in with bad knees, and since then has had a bad back.
Okay,
Yep.
For me personally, yep. I'm not thinking health. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I'm just talking basketball. Health-wise, I understand.
Here's my issue with
trading for Harden. I'm just talking basketball
game. Of course, if they get James Harden, he's one of the best players in the world, you get James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my issue, especially with trading Ben Simmons for him. People tend to think of, like, in baseball, they thought money ball equals on-base percentage. No. Mm-hmm. Or in basketball, money ball equals, where analytics equal shooting the three well. No. Has really nothing to do with it at all. What money ball does, especially in a league with a cap that's important, is identify undervalued commodities. Ooh, the marketplace is not valuing that properly. That has more value than people realize, and acquiring them, right? That's how you get a better team for the same money. That's what Daryl Morey did with James Harden. Everyone knew James Harden was good, but Daryl Morey looked and said, no, he's great, actually. He's much better than people realize, and got him for a song in retrospect. James Harden ain't undervalued anymore. You ain't playing money ball with no James Harden. James Harden will cost you an arm and a leg. Meantime, people look at Ben Simmons and go, that's not a Daryl Morey type of player. He can't shoot the three. Ben Simmons has created more open threes than four teammates, than anyone in the world since he joined the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
No other NBA player has created more open looks from three than Ben Simmons. And how does Ben Simmons score? He scores in the paint. Well, that's the highest percentage shot there is, in fact. No, he's an analytics-friendly player. The analytics like Ben Simmons, to say nothing of his defense. And if you look at what Milwaukee did with Antetokounmpo, they built around him, and he and Simmons were developing, if you look at their careers year over year, at the same rate, and then Antetokounmpo became an MVP candidate and Simmons didn't because he has to deal with a guy in the middle. Look what Daryl Morey did in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He took away the guy in the middle for Westbrook.
So what do you want to see happen? Stephen A. wants the Harden trade. What do you think?
If you can get Harden, great. I would not move Ben Simmons. I probably would test the waters to see what I could get for MB because I bet you it would be a
first
haul.
First of all, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Ben Simmons and what he would do for somebody like a James Harden, assuming James Harden was willing to move without the basketball as opposed to having the ball in his hands, is something that's open for discussion, and it's an interesting conversation. It ain't going to win you the chip. That's the bottom line. When you talk about Harden with a big man, the quality of a Joel Embiid, a healthy Joel Embiid, you're talking chip, at least getting to the finals. This is what we're talking about here. I'm tired of people not appreciating the greatness of James Harden. It ain't just one-on-one basketball. His ability to get to the free throw line, to draw fouls, to dance on you, to create his own shot, to hit from three, to hit mid-range shots, to finish at the basket. This brother is a magician on the offensive side of the ball. He's an absolute scoring machine, okay? If you give him guys around him, that especially somebody like Embiid that can ball, especially some defenders, it works. Now, remember, Ben Simmons' new contract starts this coming season. He's going to be making $29 million this season. Goes up to 31, 33, and beyond. Harden's at $38 million. If you're the Houston Rockets, yes, you don't want Russell Westbrook with Ben Simmons because, Ben, I got news for you. I don't give a damn how much Ben Simmons practices. I don't give a damn how much he improves. He'll never be able to shoot like James Harden. That's not his thing. You can't go from not shooting at all, not even trying to attempt threes, to being the kind of shooter that James Harden is and the kind of scorer that he is. That's number one. So pairing him with Russell Westbrook would be problematic for the Houston Rockets. But since the Houston Rockets are going home in the second round anyway, and you got James Harden making $38 and then $41 million and $44 million and so on and so forth, if you are Tillman Fertitta and this new GM, Raphael Stone, you know what I mean? When you look at these guys.
Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, listen. To me, it's a fantasy, but it could be reality because it's Daryl Morey we're talking about here.
Okay.
Yeah, GMs can get attached to certain players that they trust.
And James Harden would not dismiss that because of Daryl Morey.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers.
Who are you talking about? Me? I mean people who underrate James Harden. James Harden's won the MVP. He's come in second three times. He's come in third once. That's five top three finishes. I think people appreciate it.
First of all, I'm not talking about you, but what I'm saying is there are people who look at him and say how he scores and the fact that he needs to dribble so much and he engages in isolation play that you'll never win the championship with him. I don't agree with that. I think that if you got the right coaching, you got the right system, you got a couple of guys, the right players around him, I definitely think that James Harden can win the chip for you.
I agree.
This
I think
brother's
he can.
A scoring machine.
Much like I get on Carson Wentz, although Harden's playing at a much higher level, I get on Harden in the playoffs because he's one of the best who ever did it. And matter of fact, had he played bigger in Game 7 against Golden State, you know I'm on the record. I think they would have won the championship that season.
Mm, yes.
So you can do it, and Morey may very well feel the way you're talking about it. But if he can't acquire Harden, he has a great foundation to work with. He has two young, if they're not superstars, they're the next things to it. Mm-hmm. They're in their prime. They can play together very well. Either one would fetch an enormous return.
It comes down to the 76ers. Are you trying to win the chip? Or are you trying to be competitive? Because you're going to be competitive.
Yeah.
You're going to compete.
Here's the
but
other
if you're
thing.
Trying to win the chip, standing pat ain't going to cut it.
What's going
to not when Ben Simmons doesn't shoot.
What's going to be interesting
in
to me
conference.
Is to see if Morey is willing to give up assets in order to move Tobias Harris and or Al Horford's contracts.
Sure.
Because once you can get those guys off the books, you also have more flexibility in terms of the team you can have. And I'll bet that Horford in a different situation might look a lot better than he does right now.
Yeah. Both those teams need to get
if
over
we want to go to Fantasy Island, keep Embiid and Ben Simmons, find a way to get James Harden to join him, and you win the chip.
Yeah,
well, that's
sure.
really
you win
Fantasy
the chip.
Island.
What are you going to give
now
him?
You're
you
really
win the
dreaming.
Chip. Okay,
who's gonna
we don't.
Do that?
I don't think you can pull that off.
Yeah.
You got to give up somebody, and if you're Houston, you can get younger and a little bit cheaper.
Right. Well, hey, we'll give you Thybulle, and, and 3 years from now, you can have a second round draft pick.
All right. So Stephen A. wants Harden to go to the Sixers, but as of now, he is still in Houston, and they have a new head coach. So I want to get your thoughts on that a little bit later. The new hire of Steven Silas. We will discuss that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's a physical one. It can be nasty at times. But I've always felt as many times as my nose has been broke, we've had injuries. It's been a close game. It's always been football in its truest form in the sense that it's never dirty. It's never been nasty. It's just been hard-nosed football. And so this is one you always want your bye week to be after.
I know what I'll be doing Sunday at 1 o'clock. Ravens Steelers battle of the AFC North, the MVP versus undefeated Big Ben and Stephen A. Steelers. Look who's here, our guy, Damian Woody. Good to see you, sir. As always, thanks. Damian, we'll get to you in just a moment. A lot of fun watching you on Get Up this morning.
Patriots could use you right now, Wood.
I mean, he just, you know,
no,
I know
I'm
he,
good. I'm
I
good, Max.
Home,
I'm
I
good.
Know he's home and everything. He's got a beautiful house and all of that stuff, and I got nothing
Come
but
on,
love
man.
For him.
It's too
but,
early
I mean,
in the
damn, you home, so
this.
That means you can't put on a blazer or something? I mean, why are you looking like you just got out of bed and you just threw on a shirt just to do a segment on TV?
Collar,
I mean, what's up with that?
He's got a button down on.
What
I mean, your
me?
Collar ain't even starched.
What more do you
I mean,
want from
what's
me?
Up?
That's not even the big story, Stephen A.
I got a button-up shirt for you. That's all
I'm just saying.
Get.
I mean, you can't put on a blazer or something? I mean, damn, it's TV, man.
Don't pull for it, Stephen A.
Damian used to be sitting in his living room like Scarface.
I know.
With the columns behind him and everything. Then the kids pushed him into a little corner of the of
That's right. After they had him do TikTok.
You know
after they had him do TikTok.
Damian's going to be in the bathroom doing the show pretty soon.
Hold up, Damian's on TikTok?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my gosh.
He thought I forgot about that. I didn't forget about that.
Damian, there's another instant.
Molly, I did one video. One video
on TikTok.
Wait, hold on.
The best Damian Woody post ever, you're going to kill me right now, is when he let his daughter practice makeup on him. I mean, that was the cutest thing I ever saw in my life.
He did that?
Yes, on Instagram.
I didn't know that. So adorable.
Hey,
you know,
yes.
Big Will love the kids, man. You know.
Yeah.
Hold on. That's what it's all about. Big Will love the kids, man.
Best Damian post.
He sure does. You got to add that line. He sure does.
All right. Producers are killing me.
You got to add that line.
I mean, I'm killing producers, rather. They want me to get to the topic here, so let's do it. Max, does Lamar have more to prove than Big Ben in this matchup?
Actually, he doesn't. You know, if this was a couple of years ago, sure, for Big Ben. And Roethlisberger, let me be very clear. For a 38-year-old coming off a catastrophic injury for which he missed a season, especially, remember, it was the ligaments in his right elbow. And I remember Roethlisberger talking about, like, the doctor told him he'd never seen, like, this has never happened to a quarterback before, like, that kind of injury. For him to come back and play the way he's played is amazing. By those standards, he's doing great, and he's a real NFL quarterback again. But he hasn't been Ben Roethlisberger quite, not yet. He's been, like, you know, if you want to hold him to his previous standard, he's not yet measuring up. I didn't expect him to right out the gate, and yet it is what it is through a bunch of interceptions last time we saw him. He looks like a solid, right now, kind of middle-of-the-pack quarterback with a great defense. And by the way, some receivers in a running game, too. Roethlisberger, when he's really Roethlisberger, is, if not an MVP candidate, then the very next thing to it. We haven't seen that from him. And furthermore, I believe, as much as, you know, Stephen A., I'll leave Lamar Jackson to you, but whatever struggles they have in their passing game, the Steelers also, through the year, have not been amazing. The Steelers are going to be more dependent on Roethlisberger being the best version of himself if they're serious about contending for a Super Bowl championship this year, and they have the team to do it.
Oh, please. Ben Roethlisberger don't have anything to prove until playoff time. He's a Super Bowl. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's been to three Super Bowls. He's coming off an injury, and even still, they're 6-0 with him completing 68% of his passes, just 13 touchdowns with just 4 interceptions. Brother's balling.
68th in QBR.
Listen, who cares? The bottom line is that, again, he's going to be held accountable come playoff time. Lamar Jackson, even though he's got something to prove in the playoffs, man, they got the second worst passing attack in football. The second worst passing attack. They rank 31st. He's completed about 63% of his passes. He's running a football effectively because he always does, but he clearly still hasn't been that dude you need him to be as a passer. When you talk about having something to prove, going up against this Steelers defense with that secondary, the way they've been getting after the quarterback as well, the way they've been playing overall as a defense, Lamar Jackson needs to show up and do his thing. Not running the football, I'm talking about, because we all know what he can do with that. I'm talking about actually throwing the football. That's what Lamar Jackson needs to do. I think he's the one that has to show a lot. Big Ben Roethlisberger just needs to stay healthy and get him to the playoffs. Then we'll judge.
Listen, I don't know if either of you guys know this, but this is the first meeting between Big Ben and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we know. Right.
The very first meeting. This is huge for Lamar Jackson, okay? Because since he's been the starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, he hasn't had to deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers with the quarterback of the stature that Big Ben Roethlisberger is, okay? And Stephen A., you already talked about as far as Lamar Jackson is concerned. The one area that Lamar Jackson absolutely needs to improve upon is the passing game, particularly his passes and explosive plays down the field. You know, because he hasn't been accurate at all exposing that area of the field in the passing game. And so when you're talking about now a Steelers team, that's not playing with a third string quarterback and still going 8-8. Now you're talking about a Steelers team with Big Ben Roethlisberger. He may not be the old Big Ben Roethlisberger, but he's more than enough to have his team being the best team in the AFC, in my opinion, right now. With the weapons that the Steelers have, we need to see Lamar Jackson take the next step. Yes, he's been the MVP. Yes, he's been spectacular as far as running the football. But unless he takes another step in the passing game, because that's where you have to win football games late in the year and come playoffs. You got to be able to beat people from the neck up. If we don't see that from Lamar Jackson, it's absolutely all the pressure is on him in this game moving forward.
That, I think you guys are addressing something slightly different, or at least you are, Damian. I mean, the idea is, look, Roethlisberger threw, what, 3 interceptions last week and beat an undefeated team in one of the best teams in the conference. And he did that because he has a defense, and also their special teams were quite good. So it is true he's not going to have to do as much as Lamar Jackson is going to have to do in order for his team to win. But what they have to prove is a little different. Big Ben Roethlisberger at some point is going to want to show people that he's still himself. He hasn't done that yet. As I said, I started out by giving him credit. For a 38-year-old who's been off a year with that injury, he's been amazing. But by his own standards, he's not yet been Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers will absolutely need him to be himself, and because then they're championship contenders. Lamar Jackson has to show that he can beat you, you know, with his arm, because the Steelers' run defense is ridiculous, although their pass defense is pretty good too. So, yes, it's not that he doesn't have things to prove. They both do. But he's not the one coming off injury. He's the one coming off an MVP season.
But if you look at the seasons they're
having so far, where he's considered a disappointment, in fact, he's probably playing better than Roethlisberger right now.
Max, you mean to tell me that you're putting more pressure on a guy who's 38 years old that had, what, like Tommy John surgery on his elbow or something like that, than a guy who hasn't won a playoff game yet?
No, I'm saying, for the reasons you point out, he has more to prove.
More to prove. He's a Super Bowl winner here, Max. What are we talking about? He's a guy that's clearly on the back end of his career. Yes, he has pieces around him that helped him win games, but as far as more to prove,
we're not talking about their Hall of Fame resumes. Ben Roethlisberger is in the Hall of Fame, right? He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I'm not talking about their resume, but he proved that a long time ago. I'm talking about this Ben Roethlisberger, who just came off missing a season, who came off elbow surgery to his throwing arm, who has been miraculous considering all that, but has not yet played to his standards, and whose team is able to not carry him. He's a solid quarterback, but the reason they're as good as they are is not Roethlisberger right now. It's the defense and even special teams this past week. I'm saying he needs at some point to prove that he can be Ben Roethlisberger.
Once again, I'm going to try this again. Just because people disagree with you doesn't mean we don't comprehend or understand where you're coming from. We respectfully disagree. The reason why we're saying it is because, again, they're 6-0. If the Steelers lose to the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday and Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have a stellar game, you're going to say, okay, he's got to step up, because come playoff time, assuming they're going to make the playoffs, because Mike Tomlin never loses, you know, never has a losing record, which is true. Okay, we're going to judge Ben Roethlisberger accordingly, because we know at age 38 why he even came back to playing football. Because, again, wants to play with his guys, believe they got a chance. It's about a Super Bowl run. In the case of Lamar Jackson, being younger, not throwing the ball with the level of accuracy, some of the things that we see from other quarterbacks in terms of their accuracy problem, right, particularly in New England, it's a problem. And last point is this. Max, Big Ben Roethlisberger has 7 touchdowns this year where he's gotten rid of the ball in under 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very big deal, because what you're saying is essentially you're getting rid of the ball relatively quickly. You're not necessarily throwing it downfield.
You're not relying on
him as much as you used to.
It's a different plan
that the Steelers are exercising in this day and age.
He used to hold that ball. He's gotten older. He's got to get rid of it now. But, like, that's, I'm just saying, the point you guys are making is, oh, Roethlisberger has already won a Super Bowl. What does he have to prove? This ain't that Roethlisberger.
Agree to disagree. The Ravens are favored by a field goal. Damian Woody, 2-time Super Bowl champ. He also stars in TikTok videos. Ultimate girl dad, and I call it range, Damian. Oh, my goodness. Stephen A., let's not start with your dancing. Nobody puts Damian in the corner. And if you don't get
that's
that
what
reference,
doing on TikTok.
If you don't
that's
get that
doing
reference,
on TikTok.
You're dead to me.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Major League Baseball will begin an investigation of the Dodgers' Justin Turner for his post-game World Series actions. Turner was pulled during Tuesday night's game because of a positive COVID test. Returned to the field post-game to celebrate with his teammates despite instructions from security to leave the field. He did not wear a mask the whole time, and here's MLB's statement in part. Following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instruction he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came into contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. Stephen A., you are up first.
What?
Should MLB punish Turner for his actions?
No. And I'm fully aware that I am in the minority. I'm fully aware that I'm probably standing alone on this. I don't give a damn. This man found out at the end of the seventh inning.
Yeah.
You talking to me about this guy's been there for 12 years. It's a World Series on the line. You said that the tests were inconclusive. You knew this before the game. You knew this during the game, which means that you had a license to keep him in the game or to pull him. You made the choice to keep him in the game. Once you pulled him from the game at the end of the seventh inning, okay, it's the World Series. It's a championship. You waited your entire career for this. And excuse me, I'm supposed to sit up there after I've been playing for seven innings, after I've been around my teammates, after I've been on the field, after we played the first seven innings, and then all of a sudden, because I want to celebrate, I have to be punished? What about Major League Baseball's protocols? I love how everybody's talking about Justin Turner. I love how we're debating the Dodgers. I love how that, but we're not debating the fact, Max Kellerman, MLB, you said months ago, they should have had a damn bubble. We had question marks, huge question marks, as to whether or not they were going to complete the season. When the Miami Marlins tested, had all of those positive tests, we pointed the finger at Major League Baseball. When the St. Louis Cardinals had all those tests, had a few positive tests anyway, we pointed at Major League Baseball. Even when a couple of Cleveland Indians, even though those players tried to get slick and what have you, we still pointed to Major League Baseball. Why? Because you didn't have a bubble. You were allowing guys to come and go as they please. Yes, they were getting tested every day, but you were allowing them to come and go as they please because you couldn't negotiate having them in any kind of a bubble that would restrict their movement and therefore prevent them from being, you know, spreading the virus in some kind of way. Major League Baseball, you don't play a role in this? If you were sloppy all along, I'm supposed to sit up there and capitulate to all of this in the eighth inning of a World Series game when I just finished playing the first seven innings. I've been around my teammates the last few days. The entire series, they said it's like a 2 to 14 day incubation period. And obviously they had played the World Series. So in other words, they timed it and said he might have contracted all of this last week. Well, you've been around them all of these days. You were around them that day. You were around them that game. For the first 7 minutes, if this had happened before the game,
he tested positive. It's crazy to me.
If this had happened before the game, I got it. But the fact that he played seven innings and you pulled him out in the seventh inning, the one more, you don't get that moment back. I'm sorry. I don't think he should be punished. And you should have wore the mask,
yeah.
Should have engaged in social distancing,
but to be punished. This man just won the World Series, and we're talking about, we're actually having a conversation about him being punished 24 hours.
They, I don't know. He's one of the heartbeats of the team.
I don't know if you've ever been more wrong about anything on this show.
Sure.
Look, I will say this. Yesterday, I was on the radio, and when I first heard he wasn't compliant with Major League Baseball, he emphatically disagreed. I said, suspend him for a year. And Stephen A. knows, when you're doing radio and the news comes in and you get hot about it, sometimes you say something on the spot and you calm down and think about it and you go,
not a year.
But I'm serious about a serious punishment for Justin Turner. Fair. Here's the problem. We have not taken COVID seriously enough in this country, period. What are you talking about? I'm walking around with a mask. I haven't seen my relatives in 6 months. No, we haven't. We were late to close. We were early to open. Not enough people wearing masks. People in denial about the death count, which is approaching a quarter of a million dead Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think in Canada their percentage of COVID cases is so much lower than here, less than half as a percentage of the population? Took it more seriously. We are not, and we share a border with Canada, we are not taking it seriously enough. It's one thing, and that's the fault of, it's not just American kind of exceptionalism and or the sense that we're individuals and we're risk takers. I think that plays into it, and that's legitimate. It's part of what makes America, America. But a lot of it is bad role modeling from the very top of our government, obviously. And when it trickles down like this, we see the effects. Justin Turner, everything you said is true, Stephen A. Wait, I was able to be in the dugout with an inconclusive test. You can blame Major League Baseball for that. But then the test comes back positive. And they test the sample again, and it comes back positive.
Yeah.
He has COVID actively right now. At that point, you got to go sequester yourself. You got to go isolate yourself. Or he needs to be taken somewhere into isolation. That's the attitude everyone has to have. And if we do that, we'll get it under control. And if we don't, this is what we get. Right? Now, he went out on, okay, he kissed his wife. Yeah, we've talked about this. He's figuring, if I have it, she has it. I understand that. It's within your own household. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You go out on the field with your teammates. You sit next to a cancer survivor who's like 50 years old.
Well, Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts now? Dave Roberts got to be about 48 years old. Who survived cancer. Now, even if you say, well, it's okay with his teammates, it's okay with his manager, they accept the risk. That's not even the point. It's not about you, and it's not even about the person you're interacting with. It's about all of us, especially the most vulnerable among us. There is a lot of misinformation out there right now that there are only 9,000 people dead of COVID. Mm-hmm. That's an idiotic statistic. Where people are getting that from, that's disinformation. Where they're getting it from is that that's how many people died of COVID with no other problem. No diabetes, no whatever else, but that's the very point. If you have an underlying condition, this can be a deadly disease. That's mainly who we're protecting when we try to stop the spread. If he's around people, if he willfully said, I know I'm positive, but to hell with it, I won the World Series and I'm gonna be out there with my teammates, and baseball said don't, and he went out there anyway, Stephen A., I haven't heard from Justin Turner. I'd like to hear his side of the story because we don't know if that's exactly true. That's what Major League Baseball is saying.
They could have restrained him. You could put some of this on MLB as well.
We don't even know what happened. Let's wait until Justin Turner gives his side and we'll see what happens. But if his side coincides with theirs, at least a month suspension, like a serious suspension.
First of all, I pride myself in being able to speak the English language clearly. I know when I say something, I know I'm very, very clear. I recall being on the air yesterday and saying, I don't condone him going near teammates. I don't condone him taking off his mask when he's around those teammates. I got people texting me now in the sport of Major League Baseball. You're wrong, Stephen A., you're wrong. I am not wrong. And I don't give a damn if y'all think that I am. The fact of the matter is, I'm not telling him to go around people. I'm not telling him to avoid engaging in social distancing. I'm not telling him to take off his mask. What I am addressing is his willingness or his insatiable appetite to go out on that field, separate and apart from people, and feel the adulation for something that he has earned after you spent seven innings around everybody. That doesn't mean you have to go. Listen, we are doing this show right now. We get tested. I think we all get tested, and we're negative. There we go. But to hell, you never know what could happen.
Sure.
Guess what we're doing? We ain't pump elbows yet. We ain't been in each other's space, but we working with each other. I'm saying like this. You're in a stadium with all of that space. You can't go out and just receive adulation. And, oh, by the way, when we talk about Major League Baseball, this is the point of this discussion. Should Justin Turner be punished? And what I'm saying is, if you're telling me he should be punished because he was around David Roberts, fine. I'm not arguing with that. He's around teammates, fine. I'm talking about his willingness to leave that office, the medical facility, wherever he was with the team doctors, and go out on that field and be a part of the celebration. And I'm talking about Major League Baseball, the nerve of you. You sit up there and you don't know whether he's positive or not, so it doesn't mandate that he gets removed from the game, but you're going to remove him from the game in the seventh inning. You know how many balls the MLB has dropped figuratively since this whole COVID-19 situation took place? They should have been on top of it from day one. But we're going to wait until this dude is removed in the eighth inning of a World Series game and then come and say to him, you can't be a part of the celebration.
Well, here's the difference.
You can't be a part of the celebration.
It's a matter of information. Information in the absence of a vaccination is how we fight the virus.
Okay.
Once you know someone has it, contact tracing, who else were they in touch with? Do they have it? And now isolate them. Because we have the information. The virus is there. Keep it there. Wait for it to die. And then you come back out and rejoin society, for lack of a better word. If you what you're talking about was something like, beforehand they didn't know. Then they knew. Baseball knew. He has it. Get him out of here, right? He said, nah, I'm not getting out of here. I'm going on the field to celebrate with my teammates. If they had done something even like this, all right, we'll have a cadre of whatever, of security people around you, keeping 20 feet distance or whatever, so that you can go on the field, but you're going to keep a great distance, because after all, he'd have to transport himself to somewhere else anyway, right? And do something like that in an extremely controlled way, I could see the logic of that. Hey, it's the World Series, and the risks are basically zero if everyone really keeps their distance, face mask, even if you know he has it, right? That's not what happened. He went out onto the field, took off his mask, kissed his wife, sat there with his mask on, removed it for the picture.
Right.
Come on. At a certain point, it's a level of unseriousness. And that's the reason we're in the position
in. I can't speak for him because I'm not in his situation. But if I were, that is where the resentment would come in. When we say unseriousness. No, it happened to be very serious to him because he's thinking about all of these years he put in that work for this moment. And you can't get that moment back. Now, I'm not saying that's more important than getting ill or anything like that. But to him, that moment was very, very important. We're not talking about him taking off his mask. I know he was wrong about that.
Yeah.
I said that yesterday. And you want to fine him or suspend him later on, that's fine. You got Major League Baseball. We got all offseason to do that. It's 24 hours, a little bit more than that, removed from him winning the World Series. I'm not talking about us because we're talking about it. I'm just saying, Major League Baseball, talking about suspend. They want to be in the news to cover their own because of what they didn't do.
Let me just say, here's an analogy.
Please.
Someone has had too much to drink, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a graduation, their kids graduate, whatever it is, there's someplace they want to be, something they've earned. They want to be there for they get in the car, but damn it, they're going to go, and even though they're drunk, it wasn't their fault someone spiked their drink. They want to be there. They drive their car there. There's no accident. They still drove drunk. In other words, it's still reckless. Even if no one else gets COVID, it's reckless behavior.
Time out.
There are sanctions against that.
And guess what? They'd get fined or punished. But if they hit somebody, you understand? It would be more severe.
So if someone else has COVID as a result of their contact with Justin Turner, according to you, there should be a severe punishment?
Well, I think that if you did something like that on purpose and knowingly, that's fine. I get where you're coming from. But what I'm saying to you is this. Those players were also made aware of his situation.
We think, obviously.
Excuse me?
We think so. We think they were all aware.
That's what we were told.
But guys,
I'm sorry, I apologize because I'm not there. I don't know.
We
were told.
Part of wearing a mask and everything, it is about the person you're in contact with, right? Because it can be a deadly disease and there can be lasting effects we don't know about yet. We don't know a lot about it still. That's part of it. But the much, much bigger part is not that I give it to Molly, she gives it to you. It's that I give it to Molly, and who? And if she doesn't know she has it, or even if she does, she can give it to other people, and they can give it to other people, and that's how it spreads and affects the most vulnerable among us.
But
let me just say one thing real quick. The reason we're still wearing masks and unable to is because we closed too late and opened too early. It's made the situation worse.
Okay, Matt.
So here's
the consolation. Okay. Find Justin Turner, suspend him. Make sure you find the Dodgers, confiscate a draft pick for all you want to. What's Major League Baseball going to do to itself as well for setting the stage for all of this? Because they dropped the ball, too. They've done a lot. I'm just saying. They've done a lot. Got their money. They got some ratings. You know, they salvaged the sport. They finished the World Series. They did all of this. But you know how many balls they dropped? We're in flu season right now.
Yep.
Okay? We're in flu season right now. We got sports being played. It was basketball being played. Then baseball just finished. Football is still being played. People are taking risks every single day. And there's no bubble in the National Football League. Okay, so there's a lot of things to bring. There's a lot of things to bring in the question.
I know Molly wants. No. Molly, you want to say something? Final thing I'll say is, I'll agree with you about this. Let's wait till all the information comes out.
Okay.
And then we can make a better judgment about where the responsibility lies. Based on the information we have so far, it looks to me very bad for Justin Turner.
I guess my question to you, Max, and even if, let's say, God forbid, the whole team ends up with COVID, don't you think the responsibility lies more so on MLB? Because sometimes you have to protect somebody, to use your analogy with the drinking and driving, from themselves, and say to him, you can go out, keep your mask on the whole time. Like you mentioned, have two security guards flanking him on each side. He can be out there with his teammates, but he can't take a picture without his mask.
Nope.
Then I feel like everybody wins and they're safe about it.
How does MLB that go down exactly? I agree with you, Molly, but how does that go down exactly? That's a contingency that I don't think that someone would have anticipated. Wait a minute. There's a player who's been tested positive. We tell them explicitly, don't go out, and they simply say, to hell with what you're saying. Do we physically restrain them? What do we do?
Do you believe that Justin Turner would have had that mentality if they had told him this before the game? No. I submit no.
They didn't know before the game.
That's their problem. What I'm saying is this. I played with you for 7 innings.
Yeah.
We've been dapping up, hugging up, playing with each other, sweating together the whole nine for the first 7 innings. And you're trying to tell me, even if these guys come back with a positive test, it happened because you let me back on the field an hour after the game. But the first 7 innings, I was with you. The days leading up to the game, I was with you. Oh, that had nothing to do with it.
They had a couple innings to come up with a plan. Hey, if he wins, what's the plan here for Justin Turner?
Right, but apparently they followed their plan, and he wouldn't go along with it. What are they supposed to do at that point? Are they supposed to physically restrain him?
No.
What are they supposed to do?
No, they're not.
So this is what I would say to you about that, because I think that's a good point. He's already been in a dugout, which is more indoors than outdoors, which is on the field, right?
In the clubhouse.
He's sweating and everything. I would say this. Once you know for sure someone has it, though, if you have a mask on, even if you're near, the odds are not very great you're going to transmit it. That's why masks are so important. But the odds are not zero. And if they don't have it, great. Let's keep it that way. You don't keep playing Russian roulette with it, particularly out on a field right next to your manager, and you take your mask off for the picture.
Listen,
he couldn't have his mask on for the picture.
Obviously, he pushed it over the edge with
that. Molly, to be clear, if it were me, I'm going out on that damn field. I'm never taking off my mask. I'm not going near anybody now because I understand that I've tested positive. But in terms of that adulation with the screaming fans, the celebration, I waited my entire damn career. I understand that. I waited my entire damn career.
I understand. It's a tough decision.
So because of that, I think he should be fine. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of stuff going on. Major League Baseball got all offseason to deal with it. Not just the Dodgers, not just him, but themselves. For a little more than 24 hours to be removed from the World Series, this brother hasn't even had a chance to fully taste the champagne, and you talking about finding
him. A lot of people can't go to their graduations, to weddings, different things. Tough. Major suspension.
This was a great conversation.
No way.
All right.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.